Are all sweeteners created equal? That's the million-dollar question when it comes to the battle between sugar and high-fructose corn syrup. Some studies say no, some say yes, but increasingly consumers are opting for sugar, and food suppliers are responding. But what's the real scoop on what you should eat if you want to fit into your skinny jeans? Good morning, I'm Veronica Rickert, and I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This morning, we're joined by Kira Butler, the articles editor at Mother Jones Magazine. And we're happy to take your phone calls. Which do you prefer, sugar or high fructose corn syrup? And do you think high fructose corn syrup has gotten a bum rap? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234 or send your email to talk@wpr.org. And Kira Butler, thank you so much for joining us today. Kira, are you with us? Hello? I know you're there, so we're going to see if we can work on getting the line fixed here. Let's see. Kira, can you hear me now? Well, we're working on getting our guest on the line. I know she's with us. We're just going to have to figure out the technical difficulties. And we'll talk about the study that recently came out from Princeton University, and it showed, contrary to other studies, that it did seem as though there was a correlation between consumption of high fructose corn syrup and obesity. Now, again, of course, this was in lab rats. This was not in people, but it seemed as though lab rats were given a dosage of high fructose corn syrup that was less concentrated than, say, you would find in a soft drink. And those rats had a much higher propensity for gaining weight, for becoming obese. And they exhibited all the signs of metabolic syndrome, actually thickening around the middle. They had increased fat triglycerides in the bloodstream. And this has been really one of the first studies that have really proven so far the link between high fructose corn syrup and obesity. And we'll see if we can get Kira Butler back with us now. And Kira, are you there? Nope, we're still not hearing her. We know we've got her on the line. Maybe you want to call up and tell us what you think about high fructose corn syrup in the meantime while we work on getting our guest on the air. Our number is 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. And our email is talk@wpr.org. And Kira Butler, are you with us?
I'm here.
Fantastic. It's great news. So you've heard me talking about the Princeton University study that came out in March. Are you familiar with that study?
Yes, I am.
What do you think? Did I summarize it just about right?
Well, you know, it's interesting because a lot of the experts that I've talked to say that it's not the high fructose corn syrup itself that is any worse than sugar. It's fructose. And as I learned when I was researching this piece, sugar and high fructose corn syrup actually have, they're both made up of fructose and glucose in roughly equal parts. Table sugar is sucrose, which is, it means it's what they call a disaccharide, and it's one part fructose and one part glucose. And in sugar, those molecules are joined. And high fructose corn syrup is roughly the same. It's about 55% fructose and 45% glucose, and the fructose and glucose molecules are not joined in high fructose corn syrup. But it's really the fructose that creates the syndrome that you were describing, the fatty liver, the metabolic disorders. And so a lot of the endocrinologists that I spoke to actually regard sugar and high fructose corn syrup as, roughly equally damaging. And the basic point is that we eat way, way too much of both.
So now, let me see if I understand you. Now, you were saying it was a difference between fructose and sugar, which is sucrose, that is the problem?
Fructose is present in both sugar and high fructose corn syrup.
So where's the molecules are different. They're slightly different, only slightly different. And there are studies that say that the way the body handles either of these sweeteners is pretty much the same.
Because fructose is present in both of them, in roughly equal proportions, they're both a problem. It's fructose that endocrinologists really think is at the heart of a lot of our problems when we're processing these sweeteners.
So then how does that explain the Princeton University study?
You know, there's a lot of different research out there on this, and some studies have found that beverages, there's one study down at the University of Southern California that found that beverages in supermarkets, they actually tested those beverages, and they found that even though high fructose corn syrup is only supposed to have 55% fructose, that actually in these beverages that they tested, the number was a lot higher. So it could be that some formulations of high fructose corn syrup actually contain more fructose than the manufacturers say that they do. That's true, and that research really hasn't been replicated yet, then that could be a huge problem, obviously.
So you're saying if we had those same concentrations of sugar, that we'd be seeing the same results, and that at least in a study like the Princeton University study, which is different than previous studies, we should point out.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
So what do you think was different about this study? Because this is one of the first that I've seen that has exhibited such a marked difference between the two.
You know, I can't explain their results. It's possible that they were, they had found some of the same things as the USC study, and maybe the formulations of high fructose corn syrup that they were looking at might have had a greater ratio of fructose to glucose. That's one explanation that I could possibly think of.
They did say that they did not use concentrations as high as were even found in a soft drink, that they used reduced concentrations of high fructose corn syrup and sugar, which would make it an interesting question about whether if what you're saying is true and there are actually higher proportions in, say, soda pop high fructose corn syrup, and then in the study that they actually used a smaller amount, I guess that makes it more provocative, doesn't it?
It does, definitely. I haven't read the study closely, so I don't know what their methodology was. But it, you know, if that's true, if what they're saying about high fructose corn syrup really in equal proportions to sugar is showing the same results, that would be something really different.
What about other sweeteners? I know that health food stores are really high on, say, agave nectar lately. It's being billed as a low glycemic sweetener. Are these things as good as they sound?
Well, it depends what perspective you're looking at them from. What I have found about agave is that it actually has, it can have a lot more fructose, a much greater fructose to glucose ratio than sugar or high fructose corn syrup. So in that sense, if you're trying to limit your fructose intake, then agave is probably not a great choice for you.
Is there something to the argument that sugar is more natural because it's not as highly refined?
There probably is something to that argument, although, you know, I think that people have this idea that sugar, you just somehow squeeze some sugar cane and out comes sugar, and that's certainly not the case. Sugar extraction is by no means a chemical-free process.
And what about what we see on some of the sort of more natural, at least they're billed as natural sodas, which is that this is raw cane sugar. Does that make it any better, or is that just a marketing gimmick?
You know, I'm not exactly sure what the difference between raw cane sugar and plain old table sugar is, but there could be a little bit less processing involved there.
Well, let's see if we can get some of our callers in on this. Let's take our first phone call from Sheila, who joins us from Verona. Hi, Sheila.
Hi. I was calling. This was very interesting to me. My daughter, who is 9 now, has been experiencing nausea and intestinal discomfort for a number of years, and we got her in for some testing, and it turns out she has something called fructose malabsorption. Hmm. Which would be, they said, would be contributing to this discomfort. They tested for sucrose malabsorption, and that was not present. So regular sugar is fine for her. So, of course, we got a grocery list together and went looking at the grocery store, and it is nearly impossible to find things that don't have high fructose corn syrup. it seems to be in absolutely everything. So when she was just having crackers or bratwurst with buns, the buns have high fructose corn syrup, the cereal, to say nothing of, you know, sweetened drinks, or it just seems to be everywhere. And so the way they explained it to me at American Children's was pretty much everyone is taking in way more than they think they are, which is contributing, I guess, to either the obesity or the intestinal discomfort. And they did explain something about the fructose amount needing to be balanced with glucose in order for it to be able to be processed properly. This is interesting to me, and I'm wondering if there's, you know, you see no gluten and no soy and no peanut labels on lots of food, and I'm wondering if no high fructose would maybe be the next sort of labeling craze to make it easier for, you know, for shopping and for keeping it away from our kids.
It almost seems like we're starting to see that. What do you think, Kira Butler?
I do think that we are starting to see that. You know, one example would be the throwback line of Pepsi drinks. Pepsi and Mountain Dew introduced this line of throwback sodas. I think it was back in 2009. And the label says, you know, Pepsi throwback made with real sugar, real as in red. I do think that that is a little bit, could be construed as a little bit disingenuous, because even though it might be made with real sugar and not high fructose corn syrup, it still has just the same amount of sweetener in it, the same amount of fructose and glucose.
Can you tell us a little bit about exactly what high fructose corn syrup is? You know, it's obviously made from corn, but how does the process work? Do you know?
I don't know much about the manufacturing process, but I do know that one theory about how it got its name is kind of interesting. Back in the 70s, fructose was thought to be fruit sugar, and that was considered really a healthier kind of sugar. Sugar had gotten a really bad rap at that point. It was thought to rot your teeth, which it definitely does. So around that time, manufacturers were actually trying to stay away from saying that there was sugar in their products. So they started using the word fructose instead. High fructose corn syrup actually doesn't have more fructose than a lot of other kinds of sweeteners, but since fructose was considered to be a good thing, they decided to emphasize that part of it in the name.
And which has been rolling back now because they've rebranded themselves, haven't they, as high fructose corn sugar?
Yes, the pendulum has swung back in the other direction. The Corn Refiners Association recently petitioned the FDA to be able to change their name to corn sugar. So they have been noticing on the sodas, like the throwback line, that sugar now sounds almost like a health food, and they want to cash in on that, it seems.
And is it working, do you think?
You know, I haven't seen any marketing information or sales information, but, you know, I think that there is something to that, that sugar has kind of taken on this wholesome, what's in your grandma's pantry kind of air.
And we've all seen the ads from, like, I assume they're from the Corn Refiners Association, where someone gets an earful about how there's really no difference between sugar and high fructose corn syrup.
Right.
Have you seen those ads? Do you think they're effective?
I think, you know, there's, at this point, high fructose corn syrup has such a bad reputation that I think people see those ads and there can be a kind of a tendency to be like, what are they up to? I'm not sure whether they've been working or not, but I do know that they're everywhere.
Right. They were running pretty heavily at least a while ago. Well, let's take a break right now and come back and continue our discussion about the differences between sugar and high fructose corn syrup. Our guest is Kira Butler, articles editor at Mother Jones Magazine. What about you? Do you prefer one over the other, sugar versus high fructose corn syrup? And do you think that the studies are right, that perhaps there is no difference, although you know, there was this Princeton University study that linked obesity with the consumption of high fructose corn syrup in rats. That was from this month. We saw that released on the 10th of March, I believe. And or do you think that high fructose corn syrup has gotten a bad reputation that's undeserved? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. And our email address is talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickert, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Veronica Rickert back with you today here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And coming up at 11 o'clock, Larry Mueller is on tape with a discussion about how to get back into the physical activity that spring can bring, that gardening and outdoor working, without injury. That's coming up at 11 o'clock on Wisconsin Public Radio. This hour, we're talking about the differences between sugar and high fructose corn syrup with Kira Butler, our guest. She's articles editor at Mother Jones Magazine. And we take our next phone call now. We have Nana joining us from Madison. Welcome, Nana. Nana, are you with us?
Hello.
Hi, go ahead. You're on the air.
Oh, okay. I'm hearing something different on the radio. Okay. Hi. I wanted to answer. Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, it'll help if you turn down your radio, then you won't get the feedback.
Okay, hello?
Sure, we're still here. Go ahead.
All right. Yes, I wanted to answer a question that a lady ahead of me had said about everything that she and her daughter wanted to buy in the store seemed to have high fructose corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say that I had the same thing, but then... the solution to that was I decided to start eating things that have not been processed in their natural state. So if I'm going to make breakfast, I would either put the stuff together, make some oatmeal, or do some eggs. And instead of buying the box things, if it's spaghetti sauce, I make the spaghetti sauce. And what I found out was eating naturally and not eating processed food, because there are lots of processed food. So if you're cooking yourself and making the stuff, buying the natural stuff and making them, instead of buying canned and boxed food, you can get rid of the high fructose corn syrup if you cook naturally.
That's so you have to do a lot of cooking, it sounds like, to just get the ingredients in there naturally.
Not necessarily, because I'm originally from West Africa, and we cook from scratch for the most part. And so if I'm eating breakfast and I'm eating oatmeal, or I'm eating some 7-grain porridge or something, it takes 5 minutes to make that oatmeal. I mean, and if I'm going to make pasta and spaghetti sauce, I just need
now
some
that
tomato.
Takes a while. I've made spaghetti sauce. That can take hours, can't it?
No.
I need your recipe.
Yes. I mean, I'm talking of at most an hour. You don't have to cook for hours. But if you're eating, lots of vegetables, basically I've found out that eating properly, eating natural foods takes care of this high fructose corn syrup, and I can attest to that. It's not, people eat out a lot and people buy canned foods a lot. That's why it seems as if you have to cook a lot. But if you make it a thing, I mean, it's the best. Anyway, that's just my comment.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate your point of view. And Nana, getting at what has been echoed before, certainly Michael Pollan would agree with that you should shop in the outskirts of the supermarket where the foods are not processed in boxes. And I guess that's one way to avoid sweeteners totally, pretty much. And Kira Butler, would you agree?
I would agree, definitely. I think that's a great point to make, that if you're making your food from natural ingredients, then you can control the amount of sweetener that you put in, which is ideal.
All right. Well, thank you, Nana. We appreciate your phone call. And on to Roger calling us from Milwaukee. Hi, Roger.
Hello there. How is everybody today?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm not bad, but I'm certainly staying away from corn syrup. And let me first say that it shows you how corrupt, in my opinion, and how easily influenced by big lobby organizations, is that I believe there should be truth in your ingredients. And if you're using corn syrup, you don't politic it by calling it corn sugar. And I do believe the Harvard study, because I have been I used to be a professional athlete. I've been involved with kids and teaching and coaching them for the last 25 years. And all I know is they're only getting fatter in the state of Wisconsin. And when I look at groups like 30 years ago, take the Chinese in Wisconsin or the Orientals, and look at their kids today, you're looking at people who are twice the size that they used to be. And it's because of processed foods, but I think it's primarily that so many people don't realize where corn sugar ends up and how much. And then just a statement on my own, I've gone back to the natural sodas that our Pepsi's providing, and the raw sugar for those, it's just less unprocessed when it's really finely ground and all these other things. It's more processed. So I try and use raw sugar. But I now drink those sodas, and you made the comment that it's an equal amount of sugar. Fact is, it isn't. In Mountain Dew, when I get the normal stuff that uses corn syrup, there's 33 grams of sugar according to that. When I buy the natural Mountain Dew, there's 40 grams of natural sugar in it. So there's 7 more grams of actual sugar in it. Maybe it ends up being the same, quote, sweetness level. But it actually takes a little more sugar. Now, I think about looking at kids who don't get enough exercise and are very sedentary these days, and you couple it with this diet of high syrupy sugars. I think you look at why America has such high obesity rates and such health problems.
Thank you, Roger. Appreciate your points there. And Kira, can you speak at all to the rate of sugar consumption today? Maybe either high fructose corn syrup and sugar versus maybe 20, 30 years ago.
Well, it's interesting. There are a lot of studies that say that our sugar and high fructose corn syrup intake has been steadily increasing. It's actually, prior to 1900, about 4% of America's calories came from fructose. And then a study about teenagers today found that today's teens get about 12% of their calories that way. So that really is just a huge increase.
It is interesting, the difference there. I think I read that we eat about somewhere between 39 and 43 pounds of sugar or high fructose corn syrup in a year. And a friend of mine, actually, I don't have the name of the plan in front of me, but it's somehow in line with how earlier on humans didn't eat nearly as much sugar, and we used to eat, say, in the pioneer days, about 15 grams of sugar a day, and I'm sure that number is much higher now. When you look at a can of soda and it has 33 grams of sugar or high fructose corn syrup, you can see where some of the calories are coming from. Do you know, is soda the main culprit in the sugar intake, Kira?
I think soda is a big one, but the other thing to consider is just that, you know, 100 years ago, most of the time when you were eating something sweet, it came with fiber. You know, if you are eating a piece of fruit, it has fiber, which actually slows down your digestion and helps your body process that sweetener. Today what we've done is we've taken the fiber out and put the sweetener in something like soda or cookies, which don't have any fiber in them, and that actually really takes a toll and makes it harder on our bodies to absorb and digest that sugar.
Our next phone call now is Steve calling from Mercer. Hi, Steve.
Hello there.
Hi, go ahead.
I think in some cases I'm ratcheting things up a little bit. You mentioned the ratio of glucose and fructose. In the labeling, there is no mention of what percentage of fructose is in that particular product. So it could be extremely high or not, depending on the product. One of the problems that I see with high fructose corn syrup is that regular sugars are digested by your stomach, whereas high fructose corn syrup tends to be digested and cause extra demand on the liver, which explains the obesity and diabetes problems. Historically, I believe the high fructose corn syrup was a chemical duplication of corn syrup. The reasons for it are price. It has a real good shelf life. It mixes well with other products and other foodstuffs, and it's actually sweeter than natural sugars. So essentially, we're sacrificing the health of our livers and diabetes and obesity and all the problems those bring for a manufacturing convenience, which when you look at duplicating corn syrup, in the United States, corn syrup is a naturally occurring. We've got a lot of corn. It's the probably the cheapest, most vulgar sweetener that we have available in this country. Trying to duplicate corn syrup is roughly equivalent to counterfeiting the nickel. You mentioned agave before. I think if you look at what agave you have available on your shelves, you'll find that the good agave, the stuff that would be viable as an alternative, is not on the shelves. The stuff that you have available to you on a store shelf in this country is not healthy agave. It's highly processed leaf material.
Well, you make a pretty compelling case there, Steve. Kira, what would you say to Steve's points?
Well, I think that the point that high fructose corn syrup is processed in the liver, whereas regular corn syrup and table sugar is not. My understanding is a little bit different. I think it's fructose that's processed in the liver, and both sugar and high fructose corn syrup contain fructose. So again, I would say that it's the overall quantity of both of those sweeteners that we eat that's the problem. But, you know, I do really agree that this is the increased amount of sweeteners that we're eating today and the increased burden that we're putting on our body with all of the fructose that we're consuming is really a major problem that seems to be contributing to the obesity epidemic and to a lot of related health problems.
So, Kira, just to be clear, in your understanding, there is no difference in how the body processes table sugar versus how it processes high fructose corn syrup.
Well, you know, I can't be sure about that because another really great point that our caller just made was that there are no labels that tell you what the formulation is of the particular kind of high fructose corn syrup that's being used. So, like, the study at USC found that some formulations have much more fructose than glucose, and you know, your label wouldn't really tell you about that. So, you know, it's possible that you could be getting more fructose than you think you are. But
in which case, you're saying we could very well be processing it differently. Is that right?
But I mean, according to food manufacturers, the most common kind of high fructose corn syrup that's used is 55% fructose and 45% glucose, which is pretty similar to sugar, which is 50-50.
Now, if it's replicated, do you see this Princeton University study, which has indicated a link between obesity and high fructose corn syrup, do you see that making an impact on manufacturers and on the Corn Refiners Association?
Well, I would hope so. If, you know, if it does turn out that there's some chemical difference that links high fructose corn syrup specifically to all of the problems that those researchers found, I would hope that manufacturers would take that very seriously. And most importantly, I would hope that the FDA would take a really close look at that because that's a regulator's job.
Of course, you're saying that there are maybe more, a higher concentration in some of the high fructose corn syrups, and the FDA, I guess, hasn't taken an interest in that yet either. Is that on the table at all?
Not to my knowledge, no.
To standardize the formula? No.
No.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Steve, for your call. And how about Mary in Madison next? Hi, Mary.
Hi there. See, I just wanted to add my own personal observation on the high fructose corn syrup. I get extreme heartburn every time I ingest it. I can do sugar just fine, but high fructose corn syrup is bad.
Any
so
idea?
To, like other callers, go cooking more naturally and shopping outside of the store.
Any idea why that is, Mary?
I have no idea. I just have always thought of curious.
All right. Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And someone else who's got some sort of different processing in their body with high fructose corn syrup. And we'll take another phone call next. Jason with us from Eau Claire. Hi, Jason.
Hello. What I don't understand is that everybody talks about the refined sugars and the refined products. Nature gave us a perfect sweetener in honey that is unrefined, doesn't require anything else, and even your natural maple and other tree saps can make natural syrup with nothing more than heating, and yet we consume a large amount of refined sugars rather than natural sweeteners. The real problem is the refining process and taking away the natural part of the sugars that are there.
Thank you, Jason. What about honey and maple syrup, Kira?
Well, honey and maple syrup, table sugar and this supposedly standard kind of high fructose corn syrup, have almost 50-50 ratios of glucose to fructose. We actually did a little taste test at Mother Jones. It was not especially scientific, but we tasted different cupcakes made with different sweeteners, and people actually really did like the maple syrup and the honey cupcakes. But maple syrup contains about 48% fructose, and honey contains about 53%. So you can see it's in the same scale as sugar, which is 50-50 again, and high fructose corn syrup, which is supposedly 55-45.
So can you do everything with honey that you could do with sugar?
You mean in terms of
baking, pretty much, cooking?
I think it probably varies from recipe to recipe, and because it's a liquid sweetener, you have to make some adjustments. But I think it's pretty easy to find on the Internet sites that'll tell you how to replace your sugar in a recipe with honey.
And does it have a honey taste, or is it more subtle?
Well, our very unscientific taste test, people thought it tasted kind of fruity and that there were hints of spiciness, and some people actually guessed. It was a blind taste test, and some people actually did guess that it was made with honey. So I think it has some telltale honey flavor, which I think is great.
So are you much of a baker yourself?
Yes.
Now, what do you bake with sugar, or do you use one of these other sweeteners that you tried out?
I usually bake with sugar, but I only just wrote this piece a little while ago, so I might experiment with some other sweeteners. Often I'll use a little bit less of sugar or whatever sweetener is called for, because I find that a lot of recipes, like a lot of products in the market, are overly sweet, to my taste at least.
You know, it's interesting. I haven't been to France myself, but on the trip to New York once, we went to a French cafe and we ordered dessert. And you almost puckered. It was not nearly as sweet as what you would expect at an American bakery or cafe with a dessert menu. I was shocked, and I wondered if that was typical. To your knowledge, do you know if the French actually bake with that much less sugar?
I don't know. I haven't studied French cooking at all, so I can't really say. But I wouldn't be that surprised if the extra sweetness that we're accustomed to is an American thing.
This hour, we're talking about the differences between high fructose corn syrup and sugar, and also getting into some other sweeteners like honey and maple syrup. Talking with our guest, Kira Butler, who's articles editor at Mother Jones Magazine. And we're looking forward to taking more of your phone calls this hour. Do you try to avoid one or the other, sugar or high fructose corn syrup? Do you think that it's unfair, the reputation that high fructose corn syrup has gotten, or do you prefer to bake with honey, with maple syrup? What do you think? You can call us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234, or send us your email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Veronica Rickard. I'm in all this week for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up at 12:30 today, tune in for Norman Gilliland on Chapter a Day as he reads from The Poisoner's Handbook by Deborah Bloom. I'm Veronica Rickard, in today for Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about sweeteners this hour, in particular high fructose corn syrup and sugar. We'll head back to the phones right now. We've got Virginia with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Virginia.
Well, good morning to both of you.
Morning.
Glad to be on again. I guess what I'm calling about is many years ago when I lived in a very small town in southern Alabama. They called it Lower Alabama, actually. And there were people there who chewed on sugarcane because it grew there. And so that was kind of new to me because I am a girl from the Midwest here. And so I got kind of an education about that. I also knew a man from North Carolina who had just gorgeous, gorgeous teeth. And it's because they never had any, really, they never had access to sugar in their diets. They were from, shall we say, they were from way back in the sticks where you had to pipe in the sunshine. So as a matter of fact, what he said on the side was that they had to use the any sugar they had for the stills to make the moonshine. And this was the case in a lot of cases down there. These people were extremely poor, but they ate straight from the earth. And in this little town where I lived, as I said, I saw people who would be selling the sugarcane juice in small jars. This would be like pint jars, selling it for a couple of dollars at different corners there. I thought that was interesting, and I never got the opportunity to buy any of it, but I certainly wanted to bring some of it back and never got that opportunity. But I did bring, I think, a piece of sugar cane back. I noticed that it's sold in the stores here, some of the healthier stores, such as Whole Foods here on the east side of Milwaukee. And I have, listening to all of your callers, I think that people are really informed, and that gives me hope that for people, because I had to train myself to eat foods that are, let's say, unprocessed and more raw. I actually start out my day with raw vegetables and fruits. And our bodies, that's what our bodies were made to take.
And Virginia, talking about what that sugar cane is like and her experiences seeing the sugar and again, someone else advocating unprocessed foods. And Virginia's call makes me curious, Kira, about sugar cane itself. Have you ever cooked with just a piece of sugar cane? What does it look like?
I've seen a piece of sugar cane, and it sort of looks like a stick.
Kind of like a bamboo shaft?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And how do you get the sugar out of it, do you know?
I don't know about the intricacies of sugar processing, but, you know, I know it has to do with extracting the juice and then processing the juice in some way to get the sugar out of it. But an interesting point is that one of the pediatric endocrinologists that I talked to, his name is Rob Lustig. He pointed out that whenever you see something sweet in nature, it comes with a lot of fiber. And that's certainly the case for sugar cane, which is basically a stick. There's a lot of fiber in there. And you have to take some work to get the sugar out of it.
Well, thank you for the call, Virginia. And we move to Tony, who's with us from Milwaukee. Hi, Tony.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have... thank you for this show and the subject. It's very interesting.
You're welcome.
I have a couple of questions, maybe a statement. A question is, how about consumption of the fruit? I mean, fructose is in fruit, and other than fiber difference, is there anything else that is different in the way how we process the fruit that we cook, that we eat? That's one question. And then if you can comment on some other sweeteners like stevia or some others that are very popular and claim that they're different than regular sugar.
Thank you, Tony. Appreciate it.
And then I'm from Europe, and I can tell you that in European desserts, especially relatively simple and older recipes, there's much less sugar than American.
Okay.
Don't ever put glazes on a fruit. You put maybe a little bit of a powdered sugar sprinkles on, and that's about it.
So do you feel as though the desserts you can get in the United States are a lot sweeter generally than what you might have known before?
Yeah, when, you know, the dessert that I grew up with, I'm from middle part of Europe, you know, and we eat different kinds of pies or strudel and things like that. You know, you put much less sugar than, let's say, in Danish or, you know, in Kringle or something like that.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, thank you, Tony. Appreciate your thoughts. Kira Butler?
I think the question about actually eating sugar in the form of fruit is an excellent one. The endocrinologist that I talked to said that they weren't too worried about people eating too much fruit. It's really easy to eat a box of cookies in one sitting. It's not so easy to eat 12 apples in one sitting.
And again, we're talking about the fiber ratio. What does the fiber do exactly to mitigate the sugar?
You know, I'm not an endocrinologist, so I don't want to get too technical here, but I do understand from what I've heard that the fiber slows down your body's absorption of the fructose, and it helps to make sure that your liver doesn't get too much of a shock at one time.
So I have a friend who, whenever she eats something sweet, she'll carry along a little container of raw almonds with her, and she'll eat a few almonds. I guess it's just to get some protein or fiber. Now, does protein have any effect like fiber does, or is it really just fiber?
I haven't heard anything about protein. My understanding is that it's really the fiber, but it's possible.
Would you recommend anything like that? I've also heard of people sprinkling a little bit of a fiber on top of their sweet things, you know, that you can buy at the drugstore or the health food store. Do you think that would be a good idea for people if they want to have their sweets?
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely heard of that. I don't think that you can eat a whole box of cookies and sprinkle fiber on top and expect for that to make up for it.
That does sound less appealing too, doesn't it? All right, let's take another phone call. Chris is next from Pewaukee. Hi, Chris.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, I just have a quick comment about it just seems that a lot of your callers are, at least earlier, were missing the point entirely that, you know, it's not about what form the sugar comes in. It's that sugar in general is just bad. You know, Americans are consuming, you know, just way too much sugar, and that's the problem, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of going to your throwback sodas, you know, just don't drink soda, and you're cutting out your sugar entirely, and you know, that's what you need to do to improve your health. And then the one question I had was, you know, involving that Princeton study. Well, was that just a study on high fructose corn syrup only, or did they compare other forms of sugar in there as well?
They compared it to table sugar, as I understand it. Is that how you understand it, Kira?
Yes.
Does that answer your question, Chris?
Yes, that answers it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I guess throwing out the soda is one really easy way to go if you want to reduce your sugar intake, which makes me curious about diet soda. Does sugar sweetener or substitutes, rather, like Splenda, how do those weigh in?
You know, I didn't look at artificial sweeteners at all for this article that I wrote, so I really can't say. I can't really comment on stevia or Splenda or any of those.
But certainly getting rid of even your throwback Pepsi would be a good idea if you want to cut down on sugar.
Well, from what I understand, the throwback has sugar, not high fructose corn syrup. but it's pretty much fructose in equal amounts.
Do you think there's a taste difference between soda or, I guess, anything with sugar or high fructose corn syrup that you can taste?
Well, that's a great question. You know, there's people really like Mexican Coke because it's made with sugar, not high fructose corn syrup, like the throwback sodas. And I think I can taste a difference. I think it tastes better to my palate, but that's just me.
Okay, let's see. There's time for a few more calls here. Katie. Katie joining us from Honey Creek. Hi, Katie.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I guess my question is, you mentioned honey and maple syrup as an alternative, and that's exactly what we use. We have five kids, so any way to cut sugar out from their high energy level is good. So we opt for honey and maple syrup a lot. But serving size compared to sugar, you mentioned it's 50-50 with, well, on a pretty big, they all run the pretty same scale, but serving size, like with my kids' waffles in the morning, they're only allowed a certain amount of, because it's much sweeter, of the maple syrup, because it's actually so much sweeter, they don't need so much. Same when my husband uses it to make bread or whatever he may use it for, he uses significantly less than he would sugar because of the higher sweetness, I guess you could say.
Mm-hmm.
So my question was that with the serving sizes, I guess, if you were to have significantly less maple syrup than you would sugar, would your body then be taking in less of the fructose and therefore have less to break down?
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Katie. Kira?
Yep.
That's a really excellent question. There's something called the sweetness index, and I haven't studied it a lot, but there supposedly some sweeteners like maple syrup are, in fact, sweeter, so you can use less of them than other sweeteners. And I think by using less, you can lessen your fructose intake. But the problem is that, again, with packaged foods, even the ones that are made with alternative sweeteners often have, you know, just as much, no matter how sweet the sweetener is.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Katie. We appreciate your question. And on to Julia. Julia with us from Fond du Lac. Hi, Julia.
Yes, hi. I just wanted to make a comment about sweet-tasting foods here in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
I had the good fortune of being raised in a country outside of the U.S., and it always amazes me every time I go back to Peru and then I come back to the States, I'm always amazed at how sweet food, and I'm not just talking bakery items, tastes here in the U.S. Take, for example, ketchup. Ketchup is really sweet here in the U.S. Same thing with salad dressings. I notice that salad dressings are very sweet. And even juices, just natural 100% juice, for some reason I find them extremely sweet or sweeter here in the States. I don't know what the phenomenon is in Europe or in other countries, but I think we put a lot more sugar in the foods we make, whether it's at home or food manufacturers. And like your guest, I also use a lot less sugar in my recipes without compromising the texture or the mouthfeel of anything of that product.
Well, that's so interesting. Thank you, Julia, for sharing your thoughts about sugar in the United States. And I wonder if that might be something when you're baking you could do, is just if you see something calling for 2 cups of sugar, put it in a cup and a half and see where it gets you. Do you have any tips like that for cutting down, Kira?
Yeah, I think it's almost always possible to use less sugar than a recipe calls for. The point about things tasting sweeter after coming back from a trip abroad makes sense to me. Some of the experts that I talked to for the article said that people who cut sugar out of their diet and then go back on it, often find that everything has kind of a sickly sweet taste to them.
Well, we thank Julia for that call, and I think we've got time here for one more phone call. We've got Pat joining us from Wauwatosa. Hi, Pat.
Good morning. My question is about blackstrap molasses. Can you tell me anything about the fructose in that?
Okay. Thank you, Pat. Mm-hmm. Kira?
You know, I haven't studied that one. I don't really know what the fructose content is of that.
One thing for sure, you know, the blackstrap molasses has a very strong taste. So if you're baking with that, I'm guessing you're going to taste it.
Right. I think, you know, that's one consideration when you're modifying recipes, is that these sweeteners do have slightly different tastes, and molasses certainly has a unique flavor.
Kira, any final thoughts about sugar in America, ways to cut down, or where this is headed?
Well, you know, I think that people are realizing more and more that sugar intake is a problem. So things are heading in a good direction in that way. And I think, like a lot of the callers mentioned, by cooking with natural foods and adding your own sweetener, you can control the amount of sugar that you put in, whereas with packaged foods, you can't. So that's definitely something to think about.
Well, Kira, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me, Veronica.
Kira Butler, our guest this morning. She's articles editor at Mother Jones Magazine. And thank you to you for listening and calling in. And I'll be back in tomorrow. I'm in this week for Kathleen Dunn. I'm Veronica Rickert on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.